In those days, we didn't know there was going to be a unified BBC, and we, in the North, felt ourselves in competition with Marconi in the South, and we were hoping, of course, we could put a kink in our wave or something to give us an advantage. But in fact, we developed at the same time as Captain Peter Eckersley was developing in Rittle, in London, near London, you know. And we reached the same point together, and were suddenly told that the BBC company, that is, had been formed, and we should start the public service on the 14th of November, 1922, which, unfortunately, we couldn't do because we only got the news late in the afternoon. The only way of getting the news bulletins in those days was to have them telephoned up from London, taken down in shorthand, typed, and then read by myself or somebody, so that we had to delay our opening by one day, and that's why we are the 15th as against 14th for 2LO.
Mr. Bell, what was it like the first night of 2ZY, November 15, 1922? What was the atmosphere like as the deadline approached?
Well, as far as we were concerned, it was exciting, to say the least of it. You see, we had equipment there. Nobody knew an awful lot about it. We'd been trying experiment broadcasts for some days before, and we had fairly good reports, some from local people, some from quite a distance. If we got something good, then everybody said, "Ooh, hold it, don't alter anything." And very likely the next night was a washout. Anyway, that night, it had worked the day before. We had our fingers crossed, and when the deadline came, well, we breathed a prayer, I think, and put the switch in, and it worked. Everybody thought we were wizards. I think we thought we were wizards too.
We did one full-scale performance, cast, orchestra, choir, an organ upstairs in the waiting room with another portion of choir. I was singing the songs for Solveig, of course. When I wasn't singing the songs, I ran upstairs and played the organ in the waiting room for the choir upstairs. But the most exciting part was during the performance, because the studio was so full of people, there was literally no room for me to stand. So I sat on the floor underneath the grand piano, and when it was time for me to sing, one of the members of the speaking cast took my place under the piano and I stood in front of the microphone and sang.
And what appealed to me very much was, here is a chance of putting wonderful music and all the other things into people's homes. And I was particularly interested in children and giving them good music instead of bad music and so on. Mm-hmm. So I think we were the first people to start children's programs from the very beginning, the 15th of November. In 1923, we started giving weekly talks in French, teaching French, and then Spanish and German, and eventually Italian as well. These things went on week after week. We also had reviews of books. We had weekly talks about gardening and the kind of things that other people adopted, if I may say so, after us. One of the things that we created from the very beginning was a thing called Mr. X's Corner, which followed the news every evening. And it was a thing which developed ultimately into what we now call current events.
What about the news in those days?
Well, right from the word go, the news was presented with complete impartiality and integrity. It was received, if I recall correctly, from Reuter and Press Association sources on a private telephone, and more or less whoever happened to be nearest to the instrument at the time the news was coming in took down the information and then rushed into the studio to present it to the announcer as he was reading the news. On one memorable occasion, the gentleman taking the news down on this telephone forgot that he had the headphones on, rushed away, and on that particular evening, it was a very short news bulletin indeed.
One thing a lot of people swear by is the accuracy and reliability of the BBC time signal. Was this always so?
Well, perhaps to the nearest 30 seconds it may have been. In the very first days, there was quite a to-do about the time signal. We used to announce for a long time beforehand that listeners should stand by in order to get the accurate time signal from Paris, direct from Paris. I've no idea why, but in a room I should think, about 100 yards away from the studio, was the most complicated piece of apparatus known to man at that time, a six-valve set, which remained tuned direct to Paris. The announcer, after warning everybody to stand by, went through about half a dozen swing doors and up and down steps and so on to this room, put on the headphones, and as soon as he heard the first pip of the six pips coming from Paris, threw off the phones, rushed back through all the doors, and by the time he got to the microphone, hit a gong as hard as he could, which might, of course, have been somewhere near 6 o'clock.
You must remember there were, I think I'm right in saying, 823 repertory companies, or amateur repertory companies, I should say, amateur companies, live amateur companies throughout Yorkshire and Lancashire. And I started to go round and meet people and see their shows, and eventually I got together the first repertory company in Great Britain, the 2ZY Repertory Company, and I had 28 men and women of the nicest people I ever wished to meet, and that's how we really got down to playing parts. Otherwise, I played five parts in the first place. I had to go out and address various local groups, radio listening groups, which was organized by the radio retailers. And it was there I came across the criticism that a man who shut his shop at 8 and got home at 8:30 found it very difficult to know what was going on. So I developed a simple brochure in which I summarized in almost childish language what had taken place from the time the curtain went up until the curtain came down in each scene. Then I went out with my bag and sold space to the radio retail shops in Manchester until I had paid for the cost of the brochure. And I may say that we made a profit, which was a shocking thing then, because we weren't supposed to have anything to do with money, as you probably know.